Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration is our first epistle to Peter, the second chapter, verses 2 through 10. I would like to read verses 2 through 4 for a summary. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is chosen and precious in the sight of God, you also, a living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The holy habitation of God, his house, what does it look like? How do we see it in our presence today? That's the very thing that Peter is addressing here. And he wants to assure us in Christ that we can know, in fact, and recognize that very house, that we are a part of that house. We've been called for the very special purposes of being a royal priesthood to the world. He says, in order to begin this journey, we are to, as newborn babies that were born, again, remember, our new birth in God by the moment that we believe the gospel, truly believe that Jesus was that Christ sent from the very time after the fall of the promise of that coming seed that would redeem us back to God once again, that we believe that is Christ. The moment that we believe that gospel, Paul tells us that God seals us with the Holy Spirit. We truly do receive a new birth. And he translates us, not only in a new birth, he translates us out of the prisoners we were in the kingdom of darkness of the evil one into the glorious light as the children of God. It's a supernatural work of God that we are saved purely by his grace through faith. An abiding faith, as our responsive psalm said today, that we continue to abide in that faith forever, holding strong to it. Peter tells us, because this is true, that now as newborn babes, we need to desire the pure milk of the word, that we may grow in respect to salvation. In other words, God does not want us to remain babies in the faith. He wants us to grow up to a mature person, a Christian full of that new life and spirit of God that is being light and salt in a world that's decaying around us. We are to be instruments of salvation. But in order to be that mature Christian, we have to grow up. And Peter tells us exactly how that growth method occurs. It occurs by us, first of all, desiring. That is a choice of the will. We understand what God's word is. And then we choose and we desire to follow that formula that God has given to us for our growth. Remember, in Jesus' temptation with the devil in the wilderness, he told us the very nature and how God created us. He created us not to live by bread alone, as the devil was trying to tempt him to break the will of God and use his supernatural ability to satisfy his own fleshly lusts. But he says, man was not created to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because man was created physical and spiritual. Oh, we do need the physical bread. But in the diet of the Christian, it had not better be the only thing that is a part of our diet. He says, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow in respect to salvation. And then he says, and he gives us that conditional clause. You know from your English days what a conditional clause is. He says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you really have encountered that power gospel coming into your life, you have really tasted of the Spirit of God, then follow that desire, that very motivation the Spirit within you gives you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That growth process, again, God gives you the choice to choose. How do you exercise that choice? Luther, and we're just finishing up our confirmation program. This is the last week. This next week, we are going to introduce the kids to the rite of confirmation. Again, we understand confirmation isn't like many confirmation ceremonies maybe in the world that confirm you've met some standards. That's not what confirmation is in our midst. It is one where these kids stand before this congregation, the congregation of the saints, and they confirm that they truly believe in their hearts all that our faith contains. They have made it their own. They want to be a vocal member of this congregation to see the Lord's congregation go forth in power proclaiming the gospel to the next generation. That's what confirmation is. They're confirming themselves. But the lesson we had last week was on Luther's table of duties. After we've gone through and we've went through the three major catechetical structures of the catechism, the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, after they have examined them on the historical faith in which we stand, what those mean to us, then Luther, at the end of that instruction, said, now this is how we, in fact, must live. Like that book titled by Francis Schaeffer, because these things are true, how then shall we must live? What is the pattern of our life? And in the tables of duties, Luther breaks it down into three areas. The mature Christian, the babe that has grown up, not just to need milk anymore from the Word of God, but solid meat. Once that person has grown up and is walking and feeding himself on a solid diet of God's Word, he says that person is going to take their place in three major areas of life. Luther says in the table of duties that the first place he's going to take his stand and God is calling him into is in the congregational life. Remember, the first duty of man, as the old Baltimore Catechism taught and asked that question, why were we created? Why did God create us? And the answer was to know him, not just know about him, to know him, to be in a relationship with him, to know him, to love him, and to serve him. That's exactly what we have been called to do. And so when we've been called into that relationship to know God, we are going to, first of all, see the fruit of that in the congregational life of the Christian, where and how he conducts himself. And then the second one was in our greater community. And the third category that Luther gave was the domestic church, the home. And of course, so let's begin with the first one, because we're to love God with all of our heart, mind, and strength. So after we've been confirmed, what do we look like? What does the Christian look like in the midst of the congregation? You see, just before our text today, the first sentence in the second chapter, Peter is telling us, because of our conversion, that translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, he says, because that's true, that's occurred, you've experienced the new birth, he says, therefore, cast off all malice, evil speaking, lust, depravity of life that marks your old life. Pull away from those things. It's very easy for us in our modern day, as we see the craziness that's going down in the world today, really to rail against those sins that are so prevalent into our eyes, into our understanding, in our reason. Oh, we need to take a stance on those things as Christians. But as Luther gave this table of duties, what about those silent sins? What about those sins that are not so easily seen? Or even those sins, the greatest, the cardinal sins that often cloak themselves as virtue. How do those things look? How do we deal with them? Especially as Luther says, this confirmed Christian needs to take his rightful place, a place that God is actually calling him to, in the midst of the congregational life of the church, in the midst of his community, to be a witness, and especially in his family. Well, again, there are certain sins, and I say they are the cardinal sins, even like pride, that can cloak themselves and appear, even though they're vice and the worst kind of vice, they can appear as virtue. How do we discern that? Well, again, in our culture, it's nothing wrong with. In fact, we give great praise to a hard-working youth, don't we? To a responsible person who seeks to educate themselves and better themselves, that they might take a responsible place in their communities, and in our society. And with great vigor, they pursue education. They pursue a job. They pursue attaining of wealth, glory, power, influence. Many of the times, we would look at that and say, look at that kid. Isn't he wonderful? Hasn't he attained to the highest places of his profession? But Luther would say, but what is that? Because it could be one or the other. It could be virtue or it could be vice. How do we know which one it is? That's the question. Well, Luther told us in the table of duties how it is. If this person goes out and goes and attains great things, and he continues to abide in his first love, the love of God, he is found in a responsible place in the life of the worship of the congregation. He's here and he's at worship. He's participating in the life of the church and the congregation. He's present and active. He's making time for those types of things. He's also there, if he's in the right spirit, it's truly virtue. He's helping the community and aiding the community by his wisdom, his strength, his money, or whatever it may be, to better the community. He's front and center. And how about the domestic church, the home? Well, guess what? One thing he's not, being a virtuous man, he's not an absent father. He is there to train his children in the ways of righteousness. He takes that responsibility seriously, that they too may be trees that produce good fruit unto the Lord. But the man following vice and power and strength and influence and all the things of the world, oh, he's absent from all of that. It's all about him and the attainment of his wealth and power and influence in the world. That's how we can tell the difference. Look at the fruit. But Peter says, in quoting the 118th Psalm, about the reason that Christ came, that Jesus came to deliver us out of these vices of the world. In the fourth verse, he says, coming to him in our desire to seek him through his word, coming to him as a living stone. This stone was indeed rejected by men, the men of Israel, the Sanhedrin, the leaders, the pastors, the theologians, the leading men who were supposed to be ready to accept the Christ when he came. What kind of spiritual condition did they have? Did they have that true virtuous religion that their father Abraham had that was full of faith? Or no? Oh, they were very religious. They knew the word of God. They walked and they were a very religious society. But when the Christ came, they rejected him. They did not understand the work of the Messiah. They didn't understand that God had chosen him and he was precious in the sight of God. But Peter, in quoting this, quotes from the 118th Psalm, which says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes." How could the rejection of the Christ by the religious leaders, them crucifying him, that power of that crucifixion and that resurrection that we're celebrating today, is that not glorious in our eyes when we understand what Christ has done for us? Is that not the power of the Christian faith? It is, isn't it? It's our glory because we know the work that God has done for us. It's marvelous in our eyes. And then the verse that we hear so often, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." How often do we in the Christian community often quote that as, you know, it's a beautiful day out there today, right? We do use it that way. But how is the psalmist using it? No, this day of salvation, this day that God saved us and translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, made us his own possession, a royal priesthood. That's the day we're walking in today. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because we're living stones, Peter says. We're not dead stones. We're not part of a dead, stony heart religion. As our liturgy says, "I will remove that heart of stone out of you, and I'll put a living heart, a new spirit within you." That's what the new birth is all about. We are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer what kind of sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Again, what are those spiritual sacrifices? It's the end of our confirmation period. It's growing up. It's leaving milk of the word behind for solid food. It's producing the fruit of righteousness that God has worked in our life by being present here, having our house in order, being an active part of being of good reputation within your community that you're giving back. And fathers, being the spiritual priest of your house and your children, and bringing them to the knowledge of the Lord. That's what we've been called for. That's the spiritual nature of it. We understand the physical life we live, but it's not just a physical life we live. It's a spiritual life based on coming to that one who gave everything for us as our hymns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. The families in this world, they find it hard to face tomorrow. Why? Because they don't know him, nor the power of his resurrection. But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we do. We understand that power in our life. And we need to hear Peter's, "Because he's done this great thing for you, desire his word to grow thereby. Desire to walk in his paths, to let his light shine through you to all the world and your family around you. Be the salt of the light that this present dark age needs. Be the light. You've been called not only to be the children of God, but he's made you a royal priesthood. You are royalty. Oh, we all saw this weekend the pomp and circumstance of the coronation of a king. But I'm going to tell you, he had a worldly crown placed upon his head. But in the waters of baptism, you had an eternal heavenly crown placed upon your head. And not only a crown to rule, but a scepter to be a priest to the world. Walk in that royal nature that's been given to you, because you are the royal offspring of God Almighty. Amen.